Sports Radio 93.1 The Ticket. This is Bronco Focus with the voice of Boise State Athletics, Bob Beeler.
Bronco Focus, Bob Beeler with us, and Beeler talking Mountain West Conference Championship. And I know our audience would love to be throwing in Boise State here. Didn't happen this year. We get Utah State, San Diego State, 1 p.m. on a little place called Fox. What do you got for us on this? Welcome.
Well, yeah, I'm disappointed too, as everybody else is. I thought Boise State maybe was going to get to the championship game at the start of the year. Never would have guessed Utah State getting there. They came out of nowhere, 9-3, certainly helped by the schedule. And San Diego State, easily the most consistent team in the Mountain West. They're the one that's ranked, guys, and they are 11-1. So let's get to the preview for the Mountain West Championship and see who gets it.
Number one.
Guys, I think the most fascinating thing in this championship game is which quarterback is Brady Hoke going to start. He substituted in Jordan Brookshire last week against Boise State for Lucas Johnson. In the game, Johnson was very pedestrian. They were losing 16-3, 9 for 20 for 98 yards passing. Brookshire, who had been benched, he did not do well when he started in the four games he started. Went 11 of 15 for 192. If they don't make that change, in my opinion, we have Air Force taking on Fresno State this week in the championship game. So I think it's fascinating. Does Hoke decide to ride the hot hand and bring Brookshire back to start, or does he go back to Johnson? I think that's the question of the game.
Absolutely. That's a great point that you bring up, and I'm glad that's number one, Beeler. And I think you said on this show earlier this week that Brady Hoke making that move was the decision of the year in the conference, and part of the reason you voted Brady Hoke for Coach of the Year in this conference.
And now he's got to do it again. He's got to come up with the decision, who he's going to start first. Because it was so early in the game, I think he's going to go with Brookshire and play the hot hand. But Johnson had done fairly well leading up to it, so we'll see what the Aztecs do, and I think that's going to be the strategic decision of the game this week.
Number two.
What kind of home field are the Aztecs actually going to have? The game's going to be at 1 o'clock Mountain Time, noon Pacific Time, and they've averaged about 10, 11,000. Now, my experience with Boise State is they have to resell tickets. So anybody with season tickets doesn't necessarily have to buy the tickets. Are we going to have a crowd of 5 or 6,000? Is there going to be no energy in the building at Carson? And is it going to benefit one team or another? Or is it just going to seem like a minor bowl game with no crowd, no energy, no nothing in the game?
What do you think on that? I mean, if you're Utah State and you're Gary Anderson, I'm sorry, if you're Utah State and you're Blake Anderson, I mean, are you bringing that up to your team and maybe that gives them some type of an advantage? I know San Diego State's a 5.5-point favorite in this thing, but it'll be interesting to see how big a factor that is. I think it probably leans toward the Aggies, right?
Probably helps them because the Aztecs have played games with no fans. And I think that, you look at the game with Boise State, they had 11,000 in there. I'll give them that they didn't overfudge the crowd, but it sure seemed to me that there weren't that many more Aztec people in there than Bronco people, so I don't think they're going to get the bump of a championship game that maybe some teams do, even if they, like Boise State, even when they get 25,000 instead of 30-plus thousand, that, it's just not the same because it's not going to be a real partisan crowd.
Number three.
And I'm going to go back to the Boise State-San Diego State game and look at the Boise State playmakers because this is where I think Utah State is going to have to make its bones if they're going to win the game on offense. The playmakers for Boise State, Bachmeier, Shakir, and Helani. Bachmeier went 21 of 40 for 222 yards, two touchdowns, but they pressured him into two interceptions, three sacks, and I don't know how many hits. Shakir did most of his damage in the first half when Boise State was ahead. Six catches for 74 yards, but San Diego State certainly would live with that. And Helani had 20 for 70. If you look at the playmakers for Utah State, Bonner is completing 60% of his passes for an average of 270 a game, 32 touchdowns. And Devin Tompkins actually averaging more yards than Khalil Shakir, averaging 129 yards receiving. I think for Utah State to win this game, I think the playmakers are going to have to be considerably better for Utah State than the playmakers were for Boise State.
Yeah, and I think that's probably an advantage San Diego State if we're throwing around advantages here. In terms of the playmakers, I think Boise State's playmakers are better than Utah State's playmakers. And with San Diego State in that defense, that 3-3-5, and don't forget, Boise State had the advantage of playing that defense the week before. And obviously Utah State knows about that defense, can prepare for that defense, but hasn't faced it live. So in this particular case, that might favor San Diego State in this 3-3-5 defense, Bob.
And again, Utah State hasn't played in the last year or two, and certainly not under Blake Anderson. And I think seeing that defense is akin to seeing the option. They are so different, and if you haven't coached against it or played against it, I think you're at a disadvantage.
Agreed.
Number four.
Number four.
Four.
Number four.
My questions are on both teams. How good is San Diego State this year? They seem to do just enough to win every game. For Utah State, my question is how good are they? Because I don't think they've really played a lot of people, and here are my numbers. Since mid-October, San Diego State had to beat four of the best teams in the Mountain West: Air Force, Nevada, Boise State, which they accomplished, Fresno State, they lost by 10, but those were four of the best teams in the league. Who has Utah State played since the first weekend in October? They played three good teams the last part of September. They went 1-2 and got beat pretty handily by Boise State, pretty solidly by BYU, and they did squeak a win out of against Air Force. But it's been marshmallows since. UNLV, Colorado State, Hawaii, New Mexico State, San Jose, Wyoming, and New Mexico to finish. San Diego State has played the tougher schedule, especially when you throw Utah in. I just wonder what Utah State has done resume-wise to compare with San Diego State.
I would agree with that, and we spent a lot of time this season talking about Utah State, who definitely got the advantage with their schedule. That was before the season even started, based on who they were playing. The only thing that really, something like that helps, is the confidence. If you start winning, and it doesn't matter, if you're a 20-year-old kid and you're beating up somebody on a college football field, you're going to build some confidence, and Utah State has to feel really, really good about itself right now. It has to have all the confidence in the world. I don't care. You know, we know that they don't care who they played, who they beat, how they got here. They're feeling it, Bob. So, to your point, I think it shows that San Diego State's the better team, X's and O's on paper, but Utah State's got it going on upstairs, I think.
And Bonner is a quarterback that I think is a playmaker. He kind of reminds me of a Brett Favre-style quarterback. You're going to scratch your head at some of the throws he makes, like he did against Boise State, where he's maybe going to get picked off or get sacked because he's going to try to, you know, spin straw into gold. But he has the capabilities of doing that. So I give Utah State a chance, but this is San Diego State's year, guys. The defense, by far better than anybody's defense in the league. I would be shocked. Maybe shocked is too hard of the word. Surprised if Utah State won.
I would definitely, going back to your original question, I would definitely start Brookshire. Keep that momentum going. And back to the Utah State situation, they're razor thin, and maybe you know about this a little bit, Johnny. Peasley's out. I mean, he got hurt, right? He's out. Utah State suddenly doesn't have a backup quarterback going against that physical San Diego State defense. If he gets hurt, if Bonner gets hurt, it's definitely lights out for the Aggies.
And the Aggies play, and the Aztecs playing for something. If if Cincinnati were to get beat by Houston, San Diego State could be sitting in for a New Year's Six.
Wow.
Now, whether Houston could jump them is a possibility, but San Diego State would be sitting there at 12-1 if they win this game.
That's the draw for me in this game. And I would ask you, on a Mountain West interest level, scale of 1 to 10, what you would have on this game. Because you do have that caveat there for San Diego State, Bob. As a Mountain West guy, what's your interest level? 10, you can't miss it. 1, you don't even pay attention. Where are you on that scale?
5.
Okay, yeah.
Right in the middle. Not thrilled with the matchup, but want to see how it goes.
I want to see how Brady Hoke and that defense can slow down that Bonner to Tompkins connection. Tompkins led the nation in receiving yards this year. Number one. Bob, you're the best. I really appreciate this. And actually, Prater, I feel a little smarter about this game. I feel better. I think I might tune in a little more than I would have before that. So, yeah.
And you're crediting Bob for that?
Absolutely, 100%.
Well, we all credit Bob around here. He makes us smarter every single day, ball game.
Bob, appreciate you, man. Good stuff, Bob Beeler, Prater, and from one, Mountain West conversation to another, ex, weird saying, former Boise State quarterback Jack Sears getting ready to hop on with us.
Yeah, he's going to join us here at 4 o'clock, and we're going to talk to him. Obviously, the news yesterday that he has entered into the transfer portal, and he has agreed to join us. We've had him on before. Good dude. Yep. Never really got a chance to know him. And I think whether it's us or the fans or even the football coaches, I mean, it seems like there's a big fat incomplete here for a guy that deserves a little bit more, but it's not like it's anybody's fault. Competition. This is what happens in competition sometime. And Jack is a big boy, and Jack's going to take his medicine. Jack's going to go find a better future, go find a place to play. I hope he gets a place to play at a high level. I would love to see that guy get one big-time season and then see if he can end up in a camp somewhere.
Yep.
And see if he can keep on playing football. That dude has been robbed of some football, and he's shown us enough to think that we can play a lot of football. And I'm looking forward to talking to him.
And leaving Boise State after 2 years with a master in business administration, not too shabby.
No!
Jack Sears. Too, right? Yep, Jack Sears. Scheduled to join us next. We'll also have Lee Sterling with ParamountSports.com next hour. And Bonefish Grill, $50 for rock jocks and pop culture, a little trivia. It's all next hour. We're Prater on the Ball Game. This is Idaho Sports Talk. You're tuned in. Sports Radio, The Ticket.
Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket.